Amen. Praise the Lord. It is good to be in the house of the Lord today. As Pastor had already alluded to earlier, the weather isn't the best, but I think the climate inside is perfect for deliverance and perfect for healing and salvation. And I do have a word from the Lord from you today, and I'm going to do my best to deliver it to you. I want to look at two passages of Scripture in John chapter 6. Verse 35, and then also want to read Psalms 37, and we'll be reading verses 3 through 5. The enemy has really been fighting me as far as preparing this message. It seems like this week he's thrown everything at me. I was trying to do my study, and my computer got hacked with a virus, and I had to fight the virus basically during my study time because it was popping up stuff and messing stuff up, and so kind of distracted me, but despite what the enemy has tried, that it will not succeed. If you have John 6:35, say amen. Amen. John 6:35 says, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst." I want to now look at Psalm 37, and we'll be reading verses 3 through 5. Psalm 37, verses 3 through 5. "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." I want to read verse 4 one more time. "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Today I want to preach to you a simple message entitled, "Are You Satisfied?" Are you satisfied? And I want to go to the Lord in prayer. I believe that it's only by the Holy Spirit's work that a person's life can be changed and that someone can be saved. And it is my endeavor for someone to be saved and someone to be changed. And I want to address this issue of satisfaction. First, let us pray today. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, we bless you. We worship you. We recognize that your presence is here with us. And even right now, O God, I pray, let your spirit have its way. Move through me and in me, O God. Give me the capacity to speak the word with clarity and with power, that people might be saved and born again and set free from the bondages of sin. Have your way in this place. I bind every work of the enemy who is endeavored to stop this work in the kingdom. I even bind his hands now fast in the name of Jesus. And I deploy the power of the Holy Spirit even now to arrest the hearts and the minds of this audience, that they might be convicted and turn fully and completely unto you. Have your way in this place. We thank you, God, in advance for what you've done, for what you're doing. And in Jesus' name, let the church, the living God, say amen. You may be seated. I want to talk about the issue of satisfaction. That we as human beings, we evaluate and we judge almost everything on the criteria as to whether or not it can satisfy us. Businesses are judged and evaluated on their, what's called their CSAT scores or their customer satisfaction scores. That whenever you have an interaction with a business, they'll usually have you fill out a survey or you'll get a call or you're rated on some sort of customer service website or something like that. And based upon your level of satisfaction, that business may either succeed or it may fail. Whether or not they are able to satisfy whatever it is that you're looking for, that will either fail or it will succeed. But what really is satisfaction? What does it really mean to be satisfied? Is satisfaction acquired when we get everything that we desire or that we want? People would define satisfaction as that I finally get what I desire. It's what I want. But is that truly the case? When we look at someone, say, like King Solomon, who was a person who really got everything that you could possibly imagine or desire, that every appetite he whetted and he pursued and he fulfilled, that when it came to wealth, he was the wealthiest man in existence at that time. He was endowed with more wisdom and more knowledge and information than anyone else at that time. He had all sorts of pleasure that was afforded to him, whether it was through concubines and through wives. He had 300 wives and 700 concubines. He threw away silver plates like it was paper. He had as much gold at that that you could possibly imagine. Every desire that he pursued, he was able to attain. But is the fulfillment of desire, does that necessarily equate to satisfaction? Let's look at what Solomon says. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 9. Solomon has just been listing all the things that he's pursued in his life and all the things that he has acquired and all the things that he has attained. He says, so I was great, Ecclesiastes 2:9, so I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me, and whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on that labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. He said everything was vanity. It was empty. It was meaningless. It was pointless. It held or captivated no value. And vexation of spirit, that instead of it being a source of joy and satisfaction, it became a source of pain and of hurt. Solomon acquired everything his heart desired, but despite this, he was not satisfied because everything he desired was temporary. Everything he desired could be taken away by some accident or by some circumstance. It was temporary. And he knew that it would never last. He says in the same chapter in verse 17, therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. After all of the things I have achieved, after all the things I've worked for and all the goals I have met, when I die, I can't take a single thing with me. Nothing is permanent. Or someone else is going to take all of my possessions. Someone else will take over my business. Someone else will have to handle my dreams and all of my desires after I'm gone. It is temporary. It is fleeting. It will not satisfy. Getting your desires met does not necessarily equate to satisfaction, because everything he lacked, everything he desired lacked permanency. And because it lacked permanency, it lacked lastingness, so to speak. It was meaningless and pointless, which robbed him of any pleasure that he attained in fulfilling his desires or that were gained through his efforts. What he desired was not, however, what he needed, because what he needed only comes from God. The only thing that lasts forever, that are permanent, that are eternal, can only be supplied by God himself. And because everything else is temporary, he found no satisfaction. Only God can fulfill the needs of the soul. And one of the things that Solomon discovered is the greatest sadness, the greatest depression, the greatest sorrow, it does not come from pain. It does not come from hurt or from tragedy. No, it comes when you have exhausted all means of pleasure and nothing else will satisfy you any longer. Because when you're hurt and you're in pain and you are going through hell, you can at least imagine something that if you acquired it would satisfy you or alleviate the pain or the hurt that you're going through. But when you've exhausted every means of pleasure, you've tried every drug, you've tried every treatment, and it still does not meet the desire, there is no hope for you. And that is a depravity that cannot be measured. That is that's a pain that cannot fully be grasped. It's a sorrow that goes beyond just pain. When you've exhausted all pleasure, when you are tired of everything that would try to whet your appetites, that is when you reach the deepest sorrow. What we desire, however, is not necessarily what we need. What we desire is not necessarily what we need. He desired all of these physical, tangible things, but that was not what he needed. What I find to be quite interesting, looking even at the landscape of our country, is that we are fat, but yet we are hungry. We are fat, yet we are hungry. Firstly, because we consume what we don't need, and secondly, because we consume that which pleases, but not that which fulfills. You're full of something, but you're not satisfied. Now, I want to show a video clip here to really break down this idea of being fat and hungry. Because if you're fat, that means you've got excess. You've got abundance, but yet we have people that are starving, even though that they are big. I want to show you this video talking about the biology of why the human body in America, why people are fat and they're hungry. If you can play the clip real quick. Praise God. If you can start it back at 7 minutes and 18 seconds, I want them to really hear this.
Supersize me.
7 minutes and 18 seconds.
Cities in America, 4 to 10, figures are actually increasing.
Okay, listen to this.
A couple years back, before I learned about intermittent fasting and this low-carb business, there was an all-you-can-eat yakiniku, Japanese barbecue place, that I'd sometimes go to. It's common to always have a bowl of rice to accompany the meat when you're eating, but one day I decided to skip the rice and just focus on the meat. The next day I noticed something new. I felt stuffed the entire day and didn't want to eat until dinner. Whereas when I usually have the rice with my meat, I was already starving for breakfast by morning. Now I finally understand what was going on. To use the energy within our fat tissues, fatty acids are taken out of the tissue to be broken down for energy, which obviously would make you shed fat. But when you have a high serum insulin level from eating too much carbohydrate, you cannot break down your fat tissue because the enzyme that allows that, hormone-sensitive lipase, is sensitive to insulin, which will not allow the fat to be broken down. So you then have this situation where insulin won't let you use your fat for energy, so when you're low on energy, you're going to feel very lethargic and hungry until you get new glucose. This is how high blood sugar and insulin keeps you fat and keeps you hungry. People don't get fat because they want to eat all the time. They want to eat all the time because they're getting fat. So then, are people staying fat because they don't exercise? Or do they not exercise because they don't have any energy available to do so? I would argue the latter.
Stop it. He said something very profound. He said that people don't get fat because they want to eat all the time. They want to eat all the time because they're getting fat. That their hunger is not a symptom of emptiness, it's a symptom of being full. Because you can be full of pain. You can be full of trauma. You can be full of disappointments. You can be full of mistakes. You could be full of garbage, full of all sorts of things, but still be hungry because you're not satisfied. Being full does not equate satisfaction. Now, I hope you were paying attention to what he just said there. He said that what happens is this, that whenever we have fat tissues in our body wants to use that fat tissue for energy. Fat is all it is stored energy. The thing is, though, if your insulin gets too high due to you intaking too many carbohydrates, sugary foods and things like that, bread and other things that have carbohydrates in it, it creates too much insulin, which prevents a hormone from breaking down the fat and transferring it to energy. Now, in this analogy, the carbohydrates represents the pleasures of this life. You want to eat the sugary, sweet stuff. The thing is, though, the insulin, which is supposed to regulate that, is your desire. And the thing is, the more that you try to seek after pleasure, the greater your desire increases. And when there's more insulin, it stops the hormone, which transfers fat into energy. I'm going to call that the Holy Spirit. Because what the Holy Spirit can do is, it can convert your traumas that you're full of, convert your pain and your mistakes that you're full of, and turn it into something that can be used for your benefit. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. You're full of pain. You're full of hurt. You're full of mistakes. You're full of traumatic experiences. You're full of abuse. You're full of hatred. You're full of bitterness. You're full, and it's keeping you fat. It's keeping you immobilized, and you have no energy to do anything else. But God is saying through my spirit, I can convert your traumas into something good. The thing you cried over yesterday, you'll be shouting over today. But they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. That weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I want to turn your morning into dancing. The only thing that can convert your trouble into energy, into motivation to change, is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit converts it transforms my trouble, my pain, and my trauma into something that God can be glorified with, that motivates me to be something better. But the thing that limits the hormone from doing that is the insulin, which is driven by the carbohydrates. The insulin represents your desire. If you want to stop the Holy Spirit from working in your life, why don't you keep feeding your fleshly desires? Be carnal and keep pursuing your desires. Keep whetting your appetites and your lusts and your cravings. And that will limit the Holy Spirit's work in your life to convert all this fat, all this stuff that you don't need, and convert it to something that is useful. It's your desire that prevents it from being converted. It's why the church is fat and hungry. He said that people aren't exercising not because they don't want to, it's because they don't have the energy. So now you're in this state where you've got all this pain, all this unforgiveness, all this bitterness that you have, and you have no way to process it. Instead, you continue to carry it, and it builds and more till you don't even have the energy, even the desire to try and work out or try to get rid of it, because it's so much. You can't process it. You can't process this pain, this rejection, this isolation. You can't process it. You can't convert it into motivation to change and to better yourself. You're stuck. It's because of our pain that we continue to feed ourselves. We start to medicate our pain by trying to fulfill our desires. But by fulfilling our desires, we're actually stopping the hormone, stopping the Holy Spirit from actually converting and dealing with the pain. You have all this pain and all this sin and all this hatred in your heart. So then you go get a bottle of alcohol to try and medicate it to fulfill a desire. You go try and get in a relationship because you think that will fulfill a desire that will help convert and get rid of this pain. You try and get a degree. You try and pursue a career. You try and pursue a dream, a hobby, or whatever to try and deal with it. But it's not actually dealing with it. It's just covering it up. It's just adding more insulin. And the more you pursue it, the more it begins to build up. Now, to make this even worse, we will not eat something unless it's pleasurable. You don't want to eat something that tastes bad. My wife and I have been having disputes with my children who don't want to eat their food. She'll make them some food, and then they don't want to eat it, even though they're hungry, because it doesn't taste good. Desire is based upon pleasure. I'll tell you a really quick way to get rid of your desires: when the thing no longer feels good anymore. When it no longer feels good anymore, when it no longer provides pleasure, is when you'll stop wanting it. Because desire primarily is based upon pleasure. Proverbs 13, verse 25, the righteous eateth to the satisfying of his soul, but the belly of the wicked shall want. Now, here's the difference between needs and desire. Okay, you need to eat some food, but what you really want is you want a specific type of meal that tastes good. And if you don't get what you want, even though you get full, you're still not satisfied. And so what do? You start looking for something I need that something to try and meet that situation. The belly of the wicked will lack and not eat because it's not what they desire. Psalms 22 verse 26 says, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him with your whole heart. Your whole heart shall live forever. So the fact of the matter is that we have to deal with this desire component. We got to deal with this. Otherwise, we're going to remain dissatisfied. Now, here's the other thing. Let's flip the coin now. I talked about that it's even if you get your desires met, you're still not going to be satisfied because you have needs. But let's flip that. What if you have all of your needs, but you don't get your desires met? Satisfaction is it when we get everything that we need. Well, now let's look at the children of Israel. The children of Israel had all of their needs met by God. They needed deliverance from bondage. God supplied it and rescued them. They needed deliverance from their enemies. God killed all of them in the Red Sea. They were hungry in the wilderness. God rained down bread from the sky. They were thirsting. He made water come out of a rock. He met all of their needs. But look what they said. Numbers chapter 11, verse 4. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. I want to just contrast something here. The difference between being full versus being pleased. Being full versus being pleased. Your stomach does not care what something tastes like. All it cares is it full? Your tongue, however, doesn't care how full your stomach is. It only cares if it's pleased. Which is why you have eaten. You've gone to Golden Corral. You've had 5 plates. You can barely breathe. Your lungs will not respire enough to lower down to get air in it because your stomach is overflowing. But you will get up from that table.
I need some dessert.
It has nothing to do with your hunger. It has nothing to do with you being full. It has to do with pleasure. You're not eating because you have a need. You're eating because you have a desire. Desire is based upon pleasure. So as long as it tastes good, you're going to still desire it, even though you have no capacity to contain it anymore. And that's another reason why we're fat, but we're hungry. Your desires are based upon pleasure. It's based upon pleasure. So you have this dichotomy. I have a need. I need to eat something. But even if I eat something and I'm full, I'm still not satisfied because I didn't get what I desired. Have you ever been really, really hungry and there was nothing else to eat in the house and so you ate like whatever was left there? And then you're mad because, man, I wasted a good appetite on this nasty food. Right? And then you're mad. And then you can finally get so dissatisfied. So, man, I'm going to Wendy's or I'm going someplace. I need a dessert. I need something that scratches that itch. That satisfies. You're looking for something that meets that desire. Now I want to talk about how we become dissatisfied. How we become dissatisfied. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. I'm going somewhere with this. Genesis chapter 3. Here's another example of someone who had all of their needs met. They lacked nothing. Look at Adam and Eve. They are in a paradise. They can have anything they want, pretty much. All of their needs are supplied. They don't lack food. They don't lack, well, I guess clothing doesn't matter. They didn't lack anything. They lacked nothing. They had all of their needs supplied. Yet for some bizarre reason, they fell. Look at this. I want you to look at this very closely. Genesis 3, verse 6. That now, Satan has talked to Eve and gotten her to look at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now look at this. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was, notice this, pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her and he did eat. Now as I said before, Eve had everything she needed. But somehow Satan got her to believe that she needed something more. The biggest trick of the devil is to get you to confuse your needs with your desires. She thought she needed this. And because she thought she needed this, she started to desire. Now notice this. He did this. He created a desire in her by getting her to look at the tree. When she looked at the tree, it says that it was pleasant to the eyes. Pleasure or desire comes through your eyes. If you're having trouble with your desires, you should check what you're looking at. What are you watching? What are you looking at? Because what you look at, you will desire. What you put before your eyes will become the desire. You think that will satisfy my appetite. Now what's interesting here, the Hebrew word there for eyes, it says that the tree was pleasant to the eyes, is the Hebrew word ayin. That same word can also be translated fountain. It was pleasing to it. Here's an example of it, Genesis 16:6. So Abram and Sarah and Sarai, they had their handmaid Hagar. If you know the story, that they were barren. Sarah was barren. So then Sarai, she basically came to the idea, why don't you basically have a kid through my servant girl, Hagar? And this caused this big old stink. And they had this big argument here. Genesis 16, 6. But Abram said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a iron fountain. The same word that's translated eyes in Genesis 3 is the word that's translated fountain. What you look at will become your fountain or your resource to try and to satisfy your desire. Now, here's the problem. Desire is stimulated through what you see. But the majority of the things that you see cannot satisfy your desires. Here's the dilemma we're in, okay? Imagine you're you're in a dinghy, you're in a rowboat or something. You're in the middle of the ocean. You're thirsty. You're surrounded by water. But you can't drink any of it. You want to know why? Why can't you drink seawater? Here's why. It's because of the salt content. Whenever you drink seawater, because there's so much salt in it, the body cannot handle the salt and it has to get rid of it. The only way it can get rid of it is through urination. So what happens is you end up losing more water than you drank. Because you drink, let's say you drink a liter of water, it will take a liter and a half to get rid of the excess salt that it got in there. You're surrounded by things that look attractive, but it's tainted by sin. And if you drink it, it will leave you dehydrated and more thirsty than ever before. Everywhere I look, I'm seeing things that are attractive, that look desirable. But if when I drink it, when I take it, I'm thirsting more messed up than I was before. I thought this cocaine would make me feel good, but now I'm going to take even more cocaine to get the same hit. And now you're in this paradox, you're in this cycle, this of deficit. The more you try to gratify the desire, the greater the desire becomes. And you end up becoming, you literally dehydrate yourself by drinking too much water. Everything around you that you can see that will stimulate your desires. Look what it says, Proverbs chapter 27, verse 20. And as you're turning there, little interesting statistic. 97.3% of the water that's in the earth is undrinkable. 97.3% of the water that's on the planet earth, you cannot drink. Only 2.7% is drinkable. The majority of the things that you see, pretty much everything that you see, cannot meet your needs, and it cannot meet your desires. It's a card game. It's a deception. It's a trick. Look what it says here, Proverbs 27, verse 20. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. You get a new car. About a year later, you see someone else driving the next model. I want that. You got an iPhone this year. Next year, I want that. Somebody new comes in the church. They look kind of attractive. I want that. The grass is always greener. But it cannot satisfy you. Your eyes will never be satisfied. Why? Because everything you can see is temporary. Second Corinthians 4:18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but of the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. If you can see it, guess what? It's temporary. It won't last. This is the trick that the devil's put us in. My desires are stimulated by what I see, and everything I see cannot satisfy me. It means that the only thing that can satisfy me is something I cannot see. Because the things which are not seen are eternal. So then, satisfaction is when a need is fulfilled, when a desire or a want is met, but also the duration of the desire and the need being met must be long-lasting. If you don't have those three things, guess what? You're not going to be satisfied. You're not going to be satisfied. I want to go to my main text, and I'm going to try my best to wrap this up. John chapter 6, verse 35. John 6, verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. I want to assure you today that what you need the most is not necessarily a COVID vaccine. What you need the most is not a promotion. What you need the most is not another relationship. What you need the most is for your sins to be forgiven. Because if you don't get that business handled, your behind is going to be roasting in the lake of fire. Let me just be blunt with you. If you ignore that, if you don't get your soul right, your soul is going to be lost. For what profits a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And I want to tell you today that Jesus has got what you need. It what you need, he can satisfy. The Bible says in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. I hear the word of God says that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Colossians 2:10 says, and ye are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. He completes you. He gives you all that you need for godliness. He gives you all that you need to succeed and to make it to heaven. It troubles me that so many Christians, people who claim to be born again, say that I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. Jesus said, if you come to me, you'll never hunger again. He said, if you believe in me, you'll never thirst again. So we got a problem here. Either you're not born again or Jesus is alive. Because if you've been really born again, you'll never hunger. You'll never thirst. Jesus said to the woman at the well, he said, if you drink of this water, you'll thirst again. But the water that I give, if you drink of it, you'll never thirst again. Because it shall be in him a well of living water springing up into everlasting life. God wants to meet your need. Your need to be saved. Your need to be forgiven of your sins. Above all these, this is the greatest. He will fill the hunger, the emptiness, the chasm that is inside of you. But you see, satisfaction isn't just the meeting of needs. And that's why we have so many dissatisfied Christians. Because yes, Jesus has saved me. Great. Filled me with the Holy Ghost. I'm full. What about my desires? Here's where we miss it. You are full of the Holy Ghost. You've been supplied. It says, I've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Ephesians 1:3 says, I got everything. I lack nothing. But yet we have people in church who are depressed, who are dissatisfied. Why? Because their desires aren't met. And I'm going to tell you why your desires aren't met. Because you're desiring the wrong thing. God promised I'll meet your needs, but I'm not going to meet your desires, because the thing that you desire will send you behind straight to hell. But I want this. I want this. I want to have it. That thing will destroy you. That thing will become God over you instead of me. And we start looking for the resource, looking for the effect of something instead of the actual source. I want joy, God. I want peace, God. I want love, God. I want acceptance, God. And God said, what about me? You want the gift, but you don't want the giver. He's just your sugar daddy. Gold digger Christians only want to be with Jesus just because of what he gives them. And that's why so many of y'all bouncing on Jesus, because he didn't meet your expectations. Deuces. I thought
I was going to get me a new Cadillac or a new house. That was what I desired. I came to church because I wanted a man. Or I wanted a relationship.
Uh-oh.
And Jesus didn't promise to meet your desires.
He promised to meet your need.
The reason why you're unsatisfied with God, because you are desiring things that are contrary to God's will for your life. And you'll be looking for love in all the wrong places and drinking as much as you can, much salt water as you can, trying to quench this thirst when Jesus has it all for you.
Your desires aren't being met. Your desires aren't being met. Psalms 37, verse 3, my other text. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of your heart. I want to tell you what I feel in the Holy Ghost. God wants to satisfy you. But he cannot satisfy you if you don't desire him. You're at a restaurant and they keep giving you food that you didn't order. You're never going to eat it because you didn't desire it. God can give you every blessing from heaven to earth. But if you don't desire him, you'll never accept it. God is saying, I want you to really consider this. God, who is eternal, God, who is inexhaustible, God, who has no beginning or ending, he is the first and the last. And we have the audacity to say, God, I'm not satisfied with you. Do you understand the hurt that God feels? To say, I bled and died on a cross for you, yet you are not satisfied with me. Every time I sin and look for some go-to for pleasure, I'm saying, God, you're not satisfactory enough. You're not enough for me. We're telling God he is insufficient. Every time you pick up that bottle, every time you go sneaking on another website you shouldn't be looking at, you're telling God, you do not satisfy me. God, who has shared with you the most intimate of experiences by filling you with his very essence. And we reject it and treat it like garbage. Because it's not what we desire. Do you understand the hurt that someone feels when they have been rejected because they are not what a person desired? That type of pain will mess you up. I've been there. I know what that feels like. Took me 5 years to get over someone who said I was undesirable. And it wasn't until I realized that the maker of the heavens and the earth desired me. Hope you're hearing me today. God is saying, I will give you the desires of your heart if you desire me. If I am not your desire, then there's nothing I can do to satisfy you. Are you hearing me? Until you start putting God first and seeking him first and making him the number one. David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord. That will I seek after. I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. I hope y'all hear me today. God wants to satisfy you. He wants to fill you, meet your needs, but also he wants to become your desire. And no matter how many rose petals God showers you with, no matter how many chocolates he gives you, no matter how many serenades and romantic things he does for you, we reject him because we don't desire him. Instead, we desire something of the flesh that cannot really fulfill our satisfaction. I'm trying to quit. Remember I said that the way to kill desire is when it no longer pleases you anymore? The reason why you're still in sin is because it still pleases you. When you get a dissatisfaction for sin, And for wickedness, you will start to leave it because you need to seek it elsewhere. Dissatisfaction can be a good thing. It's good to be dissatisfied with living a life apart from Jesus. It's good because dissatisfaction will make you move and change. People just, we're lazy. We just will not do anything until we become upset about it enough. Till it bothers us enough. God is wondering, will you let me satisfy you? I can please you in ways that you cannot imagine if you would just make me your desire. Because if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Matthew 5, 6, blessed are they which you hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Psalm 17, 15 says, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Let's stand. I'm going to quit. I will become satisfied when I look like Jesus. Psalm 91, 16 says, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Do you understand that God has everything to satisfy you? Psalm 16, 11 says, thou wilt show me the path of life, for in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Are you satisfied? Are you satisfied? You're not going to find satisfaction in me or pastor. I'm sorry, but I can't just wave my hand and make everything right. I'm not God. If you're looking for me to solve all of your problems, you're looking at the wrong person. Remember, if you can see it, it's temporary. It will not fix your problem. The only thing that can fix it is something you cannot see. And that something is in Jesus. Are you satisfied? Are you satisfied? I want to play a song for this altar call. This song has been ministering to me. It's really been ministering to me. Because only Jesus can satisfy. Only Jesus can satisfy me. If you're tired of drinking salt water, all of your efforts have brought you nothing but more pain. You're more empty, more hurt, more traumatized than you were before you even tried. I offer unto you the living water that can quench your thirst. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. That he that cometh to me shall never hunger. Come and dine, the master calls.
Only you can satisfy my heart. Only you can satisfy my soul. Only you can satisfy my heart.
Jesus wants to satisfy you. Only he can satisfy you. Only he can meet your need and fulfill your desire when your desire becomes him. Stop looking to man. Stop looking to your career. Stop looking at what you can see. And through the eyes of faith, put your trust in Jesus, who can satisfy you. Only you can satisfy. I open these altars today. Come and dine, the master calleth. Come and dine. You can feast at Jesus all the time. He who fed the multitude, he who turned water into wine, to the hungry calleth now. Come and dine. I want to satisfy you. Heaven is screaming, is shrieking in pain, wanting to satisfy you. The world cannot satisfy you. The bottle cannot satisfy you. The opioids and the drugs cannot satisfy you. A career and an education cannot satisfy you. Only Jesus can.